Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And that transitions into Connie Rivera. Connie, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you? We're doing good.
I'm doing good. You are the owner of the City Escape Garden Center and Design Studio at 3022 West Lake Street, Chicago, as you obviously know.
That is correct.
That is correct. Okay, I got one right. Okay, if anybody has any questions and you'd like to put them to Connie, she's the person that can answer. 312-981-7200. We're going to gardening. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions, and she'll have the answers. You grew up on, I've got your little bio, on your parents' Michigan flower farm?
Right. I come from a big farming family, and we happen to be the part of the family that grew the flowers.
Where in Michigan?
Up in the thumb of Michigan, by Bay City, Colin, way up there. Mm-hmm. Lots of sugar beets and other things like that.
Is that where you feel you got your inspiration to continue on in that line of work as you do now?
I absolutely think it came from my family background, absolutely.
So what have you got? What generally can we say now about approaching what we plant? What we need to look out for, what do we do about you? I think we're sort of low on water. Are we in a drought right now?
Well, we're hearing that quite a bit these days. You know, last year in 2020, we had the wettest spring ever, and now we've had the driest spring. Mm-hmm. And going into summer, we're seeing these hot, dry temperatures in the 90s with no relief with any rain in the future.
And what, then, does one do to protect what you want to grow? I mean, with that kind of weather happening.
Well, you know, there's two things, John. First of all, there's people that are planting new plants, like new trees, new shrubs, new perennials. And it's important that they are watered, a deep watering, and watered every day. And it's even worse when you have these 90-degree temperatures with a little bit of wind. That combination can be very deadly to any new plantings. But we also have to think about those trusted, tried, and true plants, our big trees that are in the ground that need that water for sustainability. Mm. So in addition to new plantings, all of our plantings that we've had in the ground really need that extra water right now. And it's important to give them a deep watering, so a slow trickle that really gets down to those roots that are deep into the ground.
I gleaned for a moment there that we should be watering our trees, too?
Absolutely.
Wow,
trees are
that.
One of our assets.
Yeah.
Very important to be doing that right now, yes.
Well, I guess I know what I'll be doing tomorrow. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions for Connie about what to do at this time of year as far as planting or maintaining your plants that you already have or anything else that may come to your mind. 312-981-7200. You know, sometimes I get so involved in what I'm doing that I don't see the big picture, and when I saw this item here about it being a perceived drought, my first reaction was, it is? You know, I mean, yeah, it is. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Just, I never thought of it in that context. You know, when you say the word drought, that brings up images of the old, you know, the old West and nobody having any water and that kind of thing. And I didn't realize that we were even in that ballpark, so to speak. But good to know. And I take the appropriate steps to rectify it. What about plants?
So we had a rain down about a week ago, but it only provided about a half inch of water. And while we thought, you know, it was a long rain and we were getting quite a bit of rain, that is not enough to sustain, you know, our plant life right now. So because we haven't had a lot of rain and, you know, water that's been stored up over the spring, we really need to be very conscious of watering all of our important plants.
What about the idea of flowers and plants to be added to window boxes? I mean, my wife was just doing that yesterday. Is there a certain type of flower or plant that's more resilient to that type of environment?
You know, I think when you think about a window box, there's not a lot of soil. You're probably a beautiful annual flower of some kind. And what we recommend is, you know, using a lightweight soil or soilless mixture that has some additive like a cocoa or something like that, like a cocoa fiber that can really help store a little bit of water. But if you're looking at a window box, your wife might be watering that twice a day right now.
Oh, my. Yeah. So, obviously, if you're going to get into this, you have to accept the responsibility of keeping everything alive. How about monarch butterflies, bees? I've heard that, especially I've heard that bees are vitally important to the environment and existence of human beings in the world, and obviously they are attracted to flowers. Do they have a favorite, so to speak? I mean, are there certain kind of flowers that you would...
Bees are so important to our food source.
Yeah.
Bees and monarchs are both pollinators. And so for us to really maintain our food supply, we really need to keep our bee lives very healthy. We need to expand on that. And monarchs, believe it or not, have actually become an endangered species. As we are seeing more urbanization, industrialization, we're seeing loss of plant life through deforestation, and they need that for sustainability. So if you look at a monarch, for example, they lay their eggs on milkweed leaves, on the bottom of milkweed. So for them to have, you know, keep reproducing, we're going to need to have more milkweed and plant more. Mm-hmm. They like flowers that are in clusters, like a butterfly weed. There actually is a butterfly weed called Asclepias tuberosa.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a butterfly bush they're attracted to. So they like the bright color clusters of flowers, and that attracts them. And very, very vital to continuing our supply of monarchs and bees.
Who's that on the line, Tom? Brian, hello. You're on WGN. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I got a question. I'm about to transplant around 60 vegetables, tomatoes, cucumbers, etc., into the ground, but the ground is so dry. My question is how do you transfer over a healthy tomato plant that, you know, you've grown from seed into unbelievably dry dirt?
Well, the first thing you're going to want to do is take that very dry earth and get it moist. And
Oh,
good.
I had a hose running there for hours.
Really?
And the water just disappeared into the ground.
Wow.
That's a true testament to how dry things are right now. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, why would you want to transplant them to begin with?
I grew from seed in those biodegradable containers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's time now to put them in the ground. They're getting too big.
Gotcha.
But the ground is so dry, so do you dig a hole, put new dirt down, and plant these? Man. Or what do you suggest?
Yes, I would suggest digging a hole that's going to be bigger than your biodegradable container. And you could, you know, put some additional soil, either a topsoil or some kind of soil amendment, so that your tomato plant can really thrive with some more nutrient value.
Well, you can buy dirt too. I mean, I'm a complete novice at this, but you know, I keep referring to my wife, but we have a wheelbarrow that's sitting on the patio, and there's like three gigantic bags of some kind of soil. So you could go to the store, obviously, and buy some kind of soil. That would that help this situation at all? I mean, like a soil transplant, for lack of a better term?
Absolutely. Adding soil, you know, to that around, you know, digging a hole big enough and then adding some kind of soil amendment, or a soil, like even a topsoil that would help that tomato plant.
Right.
And be sure and water, water, water.
720 WGN, 750 with John Landecker and Connie Rivera, who is the garden expert. City Escape Garden Center and Design Studio right here in Chicago. And boy, does she know her stuff. And I understand somebody's coming through with a question off the text line.
Someone was mentioning that in the 630 that Central DuPage was in a moderate drought already last summer. The really dry lawn turned brown last year and is turning brown again already this year. And they're not going to be mowing again until they get a real rain. Is that what needs to happen? We have to just wait until the rains come in and then we can actually tend to our garden. And when it comes to the droughts, what do we do with a lawn? How do we try to keep it healthy without wasting too much water?
Well, I think that's always a challenge and a balance. What's more important, our water supply or keeping your lawn green?
Exactly.
And, you know, that just has to be a personal judgment call. But, you know, really to keep your lawn green, it's going to need a lot of water. So if you can find a balance between not having it be the greenest lawn in the yard, greenest lawn in town, and just wait out for the rain and water it so that it doesn't totally go dormant, I would suggest that you find that good balance.
Yeah, that's like the catch 22, so to speak. I mean, at this time of year, we all need water. Every living thing needs water. And the plants need water, the grass needs water, human beings need water. And most of us have lived through times in our lives when there was a distinct water shortage and there was absolutely nothing you could do to save the green of a lawn, so to speak, because there were ordinances that the city had passed that limited the amount of water that was available to you.
That's right.
So,
if you think about it, are you going to water a tree or water a lawn?
Yeah.
I mean, a tree is a very long lived asset, and that's going to need more protection over time. A lawn's going to come back. You know, you're going to be able to save that. It may not be as green as you'd like it to be, but I would think if a choice is between a tree and a lawn,
right,
I would pick the tree.
Even though the tree, I would think, has its roots run deep, for lack of a better expression, and could access whatever moisture there was deep under the surface, or is that not true?
Well, it is if you have that deep moisture, but with a drought, we have not had the rainfall to really create the deep moisture that those roots can find.
Wow. Well, do you have any final recommendation for just a general bit of advice for folks this time of year who want to do something with the flowers, the plants, the grass, the trees? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are to be sure and provide enough water so that things aren't dying, but also be very conscious about how much water you're using and use it wisely on your trees, your shrubs, your perennials, because those are all things that, you know, we're expecting to see live over many, many years. So, you know, I would kind of make a little pecking order there with what's more important.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we're going to see some rain come sometime in the near future.
Yeah, that would be good. Tom, you got another
question?
That would
be very good.
Yeah, I've got a personal question here. So I live right in the city, and I've just got a condo, concrete backyard. I haven't had a lawn probably since I was in high school when I lived down the suburbs, but I still want to grow something. I've got a little kind of like garden box that I've been trying to just do herbs and spices and things like that, things that I hopefully won't die too easily and that I can use regularly in the kitchen. But I'm always worried about the relative lack of light. I'm on the ground level. I've got one little strip of light that kind of runs down near the alley, and that's about it. I'd love to grow some flowers too, but is there any type of flower or plant that really does well in low light situations?
Oh, you have a lot of choices for low light situations, both in perennial and in annual. And you certainly could put together, you know, things with good foliage like ferns and hostas and elstilbes are all perennials. And then on the annual side, there's beautiful begonias and caladiums and things like that that can offer you a lot of color. So there certainly are a lot of choices in a shade garden.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Have a very good evening, Connie, and keep things growing for all of us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John. Have a nice evening.
You too. Connie is with the Cityscape Garden Center and Design Studio. They're at 3022 West Lake Street in Chicago, and their number 773-638-2000. You know, anytime somebody mentions growing tomatoes, I just immediately rocket back to my childhood from the time that I can remember all the way through senior in high school, where every summer we'd go to my grandfather's farm. Here it comes. William J. Records is his name, was his name. And, you know, he was a farmer and he'd have the farm, but then he'd also have this area next to the house, which was where he grew things. And boy, would he get into the tomatoes. Oh, John, I don't know why. They're going to germinate. They're going to get in there. They're going to germinate. Well, that wraps up our growing section.